Hey, what's up, everybody? Coming up this week, I've got the second installment of the first year look back. Now, last week was the inaugural NRP episode, the COVID coup. And this week and next are going to be a compilation of the series I did on the Great Reset in episodes 2, 3, and 4 back in March and April. As with last week's episode, I didn't add anything new, but I did combine only the segments from those episodes pertaining to the Great Reset. World Economic Forum and the Great Reset have been popping up in the media more and more lately. So let this be a refresher and a warning of what's to come. With that said, I give you part one of the look back on the Great Reset. Right into this segment. Joe Biden and his administration are pursuing, among other America Last policies, a very radical restructuring of the world and of the way we live our lives. I will be laying out this radical plan over the next two episodes. It's important that you pay attention to both parts in order to get the full scope of what this is, who is involved, and if fully implemented, what it could mean for you, your family, and for this country. I promise you, a lot of the things that Biden and his administration have been saying and doing, things that a lot of corporations and banks have been saying or doing over the last few months to years, will start to make a whole lot more sense. It may not make you more comfortable. In fact, I guarantee you it won't make you do that. But it will make more sense. So, what is this radical restructuring, you ask? It's called the Great Reset. This new system is being called stakeholder capitalism. Remember that word. The aim is to reset the global economy, to transform every industry from oil and gas to tech, to revamp all aspects of our societies, from education to finance to energy, food, medicine, jobs, urban planning, law enforcement, to social contracts and working conditions. It is presented as a humane, compassionate means to begin a transformation of the social, economic, political structure of the world's operating systems. They really mean capitalism, the free market, and democracy. They plan to use COVID-19 and supposed climate crisis, quote, disasters, as the reasons for needing said reset. Now, I want to play some audio for you from an interview that Glenn Beck did with a man named Justin Haskins. In this clip, he is explaining what stakeholder capitalism is. Here it is.
Essentially, it means collectivist. That's what it means. It means right. Collectivist capitalism. It's an oxymoron. What it really means is that elites, whether that's in America or internationally at the United Nations, they're going to decide what's in the best interest of the collective, and they're going to force businesses, they might be technically private businesses, to act in ways that are in line with leftist thinking. And so that's how they get away with this idea of stakeholder capitalism. What they mean by that is the elites are going to control the economy, which is exactly what's going on in
right,
China.
And
the Great Reset is basically a massively funded, very ambitious, internationally coordinated project led by some of the biggest multinational corporations and financial players, entitled ruling class elites, billionaire know-it-alls, George Soros, and climate change activists on the planet. This plan was put together by an organization called the World Economic Forum. It is an international organization of basically globalist elites and leftist activists. Their intention is to engage the foremost political, business, cultural, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas. It was founded in 1971 by a man named Klaus Schwab. More on him in just a second. In order to reflect the importance of global economic and political issues, including poverty, environmental problems, international conflict. Translation, these elites thought they had all the answers to solve all the world problems and began to stick their noses where it didn't and still doesn't belong. The Great Reset is the latest and most dangerous example. So who is this Klaus Schwab? He is from Germany, a supposed intellectual and former business policy professor. He's also a former member of the UN Advisory Board on Sustainable Development. Mr. Schwab also came up with the idea and name for stakeholder capitalism. He considers the free market unfair to the world's poor and hungry, and democracy an inefficient political arrangement. Lovely. Lovely man so far. He adopted the term Great Reset from a 2011 book by economist Richard Florida in the context of the UN's Agenda 2030, which is about sustainable development, Green New Deal type objectives. I could do a whole episode just on Agenda 2030 as my eyes are rolling. Klaus Schwab and John Kerry were big proponents of it. I really strongly recommend looking up Agenda 2030 or Agenda 21. They are pretty much one and the same. Anyways, the Great Reset is just a continuation of this crap, except on steroids. In Schwab's own words, it will remake the world, quote, to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world going forward, end quote. All the right PC words packed into one sentence. Private property is to be abolished. Private transportation, not allowed. Dissent in the printing or production of materials will not be permitted at the cost of access to social media and internet domains. This is already happening. Fossil fuels will be replaced wholesale by green technologies. Where have we heard that idea before? Society will become cashless. All transactions will be done electronically. Governments will be able to drop money into everyone's accounts. You know, pay everyone a guaranteed living wage, whether they want to work or not. That one sound familiar too? But just as easily take every bit of it away at the very first sign of provocation. Like, for instance, support the wrong candidate, attend the wrong rally, peacefully protest for the wrong cause, things like that. Everyone will be equal, everyone will be happy and like it. In one of his books, Schwab rants about, quote, some rich countries endowed with sophisticated health systems and strong assets in research that will be perceived to have failed their citizens, end quote. He says, their social fabric and economic system are the real culprits guilty of failing to guarantee economic, social welfare for the majority of citizens. Klaus Schwab is a dangerous man. He uses the right PC woke terminology, and he can be very convincing. But that doesn't make him right. It makes him sinister and pretentious. You're probably saying by now, come on, Seth, this is just another wacko cause that all the elitists have glommed onto. It's probably harmless. Maybe your eyes are half glossed over. To be completely honest, in the beginning of my research, my eyes were kind of getting glossed over as well. Then, as I got into just what these fascists are planning, because that's what this stakeholder capitalism really is, a kind of global fascism. If Antifa really wants to be anti-fascist, here are the real enemies, boys. The World Economic Forum. By the end, my eyes were about as wide open as they could get. And I really, truly think that at the end of this discussion on the Great Reset, yours will be too. You're listening to the New Resistance Podcast. I'll be right back. Hey guys, I want to take a few seconds here and tell you about an app called Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. And it's free. And your episodes are automatically made available on most of the major podcasting platforms. Just go to your app store and download Anchor, or go to anchor.fm.
Civil unrest. Polarization. The disruption of technology. Economic destabilization. All culminating in a complete implosion of American trust. The results? Running to big government for help to save the day and scare away the big bad wolf of uncertainty. The result has been a slow but steady merging of government and corporations. But none of this has happened by chance.
Yeah, it's bad. Threat to the Republic and to the order of American society, bad.
The civil unrest we've seen, the polarization we've all experienced, the economic destabilization has all been conveniently helped along by our elected leaders in Washington who support a new world order, socialists, progressives. It's all been spurred on by the socialists, all within our own borders, who want nothing more than complete control over every facet of your life. For a while, climate change was going to get them there. After all, the Green New Deal had everything to do with furthering the tight grasp of big government that currently is hanging around your neck.
I can't find common ground if somebody says climate change is just not happening. When almost all the world's scientists tell us it is. I don't know where to start talking to you about this.
But it didn't begin there with sweet little AOC. It began way back in 1992 with a plan called Agenda 21. The plan about moving toward a centralized government with fighting climate change as the proxy to get us there. Agenda 21 was later updated to Agenda 30, and now, all of a sudden, climate change wasn't enough. And last October, the creators of this plan for takeover added preparation for a global pandemic to it as well. Surprise, surprise, here we are in the midst of a pandemic, and socialists declaring it an opportunity
to reshape the way we do business.
This pandemic is giving our favorite socialists the chance to enact a new world order in a way climate change never could. Prepare yourselves for the coronavirus war game.
Kind of eerie, isn't it? Welcome back. By the way, do your own homework and see for yourself the what, who, how and why this is all happening. Now, I told you that Joe Biden, that a lot of the things that he and his ilk, along with big corporations and big banks, have been saying and doing over the past few months to years, would make a whole lot more sense by the end. Capitalism will be deviously morphed into a public-private partnership, if you will. a global authoritarian merging of government and big business called stakeholder capitalism. I also told you that this reset was put together and is being spearheaded by the World Economic Forum and its founder, Klaus Schwab. And you will get to hear more than enough from him today to know what a scheming little fascist of a man he is. A lot of the things he and others involved say sound great, but knowing what they actually mean and plan to do will reveal the true evil. The aim of this is to reset the global economy and to revamp every single aspect of our society, to bring on a centralized authoritarian monster of global government control. It is very well thought out and planned out. Every bit of their plan is out in the open for anyone to see. They have a plan for everything. Trust me on this. You can find their plans as well as every quote and piece of audio by them that I share and play for you today on the WEF's website, www.weforum.org, or on their YouTube channel, which I am positive will never be censored and deplatformed, because Google and YouTube support and are involved with the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. They are telling us what they are going to do and what is coming next. Unfortunately, hardly anybody is listening. Well, I am. And my hope is, after listening to this show and doing your own homework, you will too. And that you will let more and more and more people know as well. So this move towards a centralized government began back in 1992 with the UN's Agenda 21, using climate change as their proxy to achieve it. See, the 21 is because this is a plan for the 21st century. 178 countries got together in Brazil. The stated goal was to, quote, build a global partnership for sustainable development to improve human lives and protect the environment, end quote. Protect the environment, supposedly. Basically the very thing the Green New Deal is about today. Except it isn't green and it isn't new. It was hatched almost 30 years ago. In 2015, they changed the name to Agenda 2030. All this is on the UN's website, by the way. 2030. Changed it in order to, quote, provide a shared blueprint for peace and prosperity for people and the planet, now and into the future, end quote. Now, in October 2019, in New York, Johns Hopkins University, the World Economic Forum, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation founded and put together what was officially called a pandemic exercise to, quote, illustrate areas where public and private partnerships will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic, end quote. What they actually did was get together to war game a plan for a global pandemic. They are now using COVID-19 to enact that plan, by the way. Business people, so-called health experts, government officials, union leaders, UN reps, all participated. They called it Event 201. The World Health Organization was designated as the gatekeeper of all info and Wait for it. Wait for it. The United Nations was suggested and used for who would give out the centralized orders. Imagine that. They wargamed every possible response down to every minute detail. Here is the audio from the video that everyone in attendance was shown right as they sat down to begin.
It began in healthy-looking pigs months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
Change pigs to bats, and you have exactly what ended up happening in 2020. They freaking nailed this one. Almost all of their predictions actually came true. The crowded hospitals, to lack of PPE and ventilators, etc. One overriding theme pops up all throughout Event 201. And you can still go online, by the way, and watch video of every minute of this. Quote, the very important role that global public-private partnership plays in preparing and responding to pandemics, end quote. No matter where the scenario and its response went, their solution always ended in disaster and chaos. Let me play for you the audio from the final produced video shown to the Event 201 attendees.
Attempts to control media messaging, originally aimed only at health-related misinformation, became used increasingly to quash political dissent. Economists say the economic turmoil caused by such a pandemic will last for years, perhaps a decade. The societal impacts, the loss of faith in government, the distrust of news, and the breakdown of social cohesion could last even longer. We have to ask, did this need to be so bad? Are there things we could have done in the 5 to 10 years leading up to the pandemic that would have lessened the catastrophic consequences? We believe the answer is yes. So are we, as a global community, now finally ready to do the hard work needed to prepare for the next pandemic?
The video describes four things that, in this scenario, they came about as a result of the global pandemic. But in reality, these things already have been brewing in the U.S. and around the world. The WEF will, and already has, pointed to the existence of these four things as all the more reason for a great reset. They are 1. Polarization and civil unrest. 2. Economic destabilization. 3. Tech disruption. Big tech colluding to censor, demonetize, and deplatform opposing ideologies. Manipulating search results, messing with elections. All of these things together leads to 4, trust implosion. We've lost trust in our government, media, tech, finance, justice system, our corporations, and our education system. The outbreak of COVID was just what they were waiting for. I want to remind all of you that you must do your homework and not just solely take my word on anything. It is very important that you know exactly what is going on. It is a big key to making sure that the Great Reset is exposed and prayerfully that it is stopped. People say all the time, I can't wait till we get back to normal. We're not ever going back to normal unless people wake up. The sooner we realize this and accept this, the sooner we can get on with fighting back. Like I said before, the political, financial elites around the world are openly plotting together to destroy capitalism and the Western world and remake it into their own image. Those behind this are the same people behind Agenda 21 2030, as well as Event 201. And as the year 2030 was the goal for achieving Agenda 2030's goals, the goal for achieving this reset is the year 2030 as well. Coronavirus and the civil unrest are the final catalyst to push it through. It was said March 22nd of 2020 by a man named James Bullard, who is the president of the Federal Bank of St. Louis. Quote, this is a planned, organized, partial shutdown of the U.S. economy. We are throttling back output on purpose to meet health guidelines. Transfer income to affected households. Call it pandemic relief. Get transfers to businesses that are affected heavily and come out on the other side. Identical economy. Produce the same goods as before. End quote. Okay, that's not actually what was going on, though. I mean, it sounds nice packaged like that. However, there is another agenda at play. Our economy and banking system was collapsing. After all, this is meant to be a reset. The Fed said that unemployment by June 2020 would be 32.1%. That's 52.8 million people out of work. Higher even than the Great Depression. The actual rate for June 2020, however, was 11.1%. By the way, if you're starting to see that the Fed was up to no good, don't worry. It goes on. The scare tactics weren't over with. In late July 2020, CNBC reported that the U.S. economy had suffered its worst plunge in history with a decline of 32.9% in the second quarter. Way worse than the Great Depression. Biden's campaign then used that to show how terrible Trump was handling things. Well, that would have been true if that number was correct. Like pretty much all of the other sensationalized crap, it was not true of the 2020 second quarter number. The real number, 9.5%. The 32.9% was the annual number. The GDP would have had to have fallen by 9.5% for four straight quarters in order to reach 32%. And their plan for a V-shaped recovery? Yeah, that was a lie too. They needed it to be much, much worse. They needed Donald Trump out of there. His and Republican governors' push to achieve the V-shaped recovery threw a monkey wrench into their plan, which was handed to Trump as a pre-planned attack. In fact, get this. In early August 2020, the Fed freaking wanted to shut us down all over again. Restarting was never the plan. A reset is what they had in mind the whole time. Remember, they're trying to usher in a new era of centralized government control, after all. They scared us into compliance by beating us over the head if we dared step out of line. The global economic experts told us everything would be okay if we would just stupidly agree to cut our wrist and bleed into the tub. I want to play for you a clip of George Soros himself from January 2020, where he talks about Trump's booming economy.
At the same time, Trump's economic team has managed to overheat an already buoyant economy. The stock market already celebrating Trump's military success is breaking up out to reach new heights. But an overheated economy can't be kept at the boiling point for too long. If all this had happened close to the election, it would have assured his re-election. His problem is that the elections are still 10 months away, and in a revolutionary situation, that's a lifetime.
What revolutionary situation was he referring to exactly? Remember, this was about a month before COVID and 4 months before the death of George Floyd. Did he just happen to get lucky? Was he able to predict all of the rioting and looting and chaos that we saw last summer several months in advance? We have old George publicly admitting that the roaring economy was actually a problem and that only a revolution could stop his reelection. So why did they really want Trump so out so badly? Because he never would have agreed to any of this. Because he stood in the way of this global governance. Can you understand a little better now why Trump might have thought so strongly that the election was stolen away from him? I sure can. This sounds really weird, doesn't it? But it gets a lot weirder when you consider where exactly Soros was speaking. He was speaking at the World Economic Forum's annual summit in January of 2020. The World Economic Forum, who bankrolled Event 201, as in the same meeting where they wanted to push a public-private merger in response to a pandemic, as in the same event led by members of the United Nations Agenda 2030, those guys, everything and everyone is connected here. Now I want to share a clip from WEF Great Reset founder Klaus Schwab.
Some people may say this is too idealistic, but what other choice do we have? At least we have to try. We may fail, and next generations or even we ourselves will have to pay the price for our failure. At least we should try.
George Soros was saying the same thing. An article from the World Economic Forum's website titled, "Now is the time for a great reset." Klaus Schwab says, quote, "To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts, working conditions. Every country must participate, and every industry must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism." End quote. What do social contracts and working conditions and social justice and capitalism have to do with any of this? In that article, he goes on to explain just what their golden opportunity really looks like, talking about countries coordinating on tax regulations, fiscal policy, upgrading trade agreements, creating the conditions for a stakeholder economy. It also includes wealth taxes, ending oil and gas subsidies, quote, fairness, building green and urban infrastructure, creating incentives for businesses to improve their track record on environmental social governance scores, or ESG scores, which I will explain in further detail what that is. In just 2015, the UN created something called the TCFD, which stands for Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, to press the environmental initiatives of Agenda 21 2030 on the banking and corporate sectors. It produces reports to banks and corporations that give these weird metrics on how much risk your business is to climate change. This is what the ESG score is that I talked about earlier. You've seen all these big businesses pledging net zero emissions by 2030 and blah, 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 blah. Well, that alone is no longer good enough. The UN will be weaponized to govern private businesses by integrating TCFD into governments. They will stop just producing reports and essentially become government auditors of businesses deemed to require assessment and disclosure of potential financial impacts. These disclosures will be made in public annual financial filings. As a business owner, you will have no choice. On page 19 of the first report, it says, quote, insurance premium increases arising due to settlements from pollution, end quote. Are you catching where they are headed with this? Failure to comply, lose your insurance. Lose your insurance, lose your certification in your license. Lose your license, lose your business. Remember, you're in a partnership. So according to page 8, there are three ways that your business can be brought under the heavy boot of government. One, when businesses depend directly on nature for operations, supply chain performance, real estate asset values, physical security, business continuity. Told you they would find a way to fit every business in there somehow. Two and three are, for the most part, the same. Anytime a business might have a negative consequence from climate change, they can be subjugated under government regulation. You see, these were added to catch the ones that they might have missed. As I'm sure you know, if you paid at least 5 minutes of attention, that their claim is that climate change is a catastrophic calamity that will spare no one. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. In the second report, it outlines what this new world might look like. They want to reduce the footprint of agriculture and fishing on ecosystems while pushing compact development in cities. Essentially, they want to buy up all the farmland, which Bill Gates has recently started to do. Push people from the suburbs and rural areas into large cities. Everything will be digitized, tracked, and recorded. Privacy, personal liberty, a relic of the past. Private property, thing of the past. The collective is now your responsibility. You, as an individual, do not matter anymore. The government, the state, will be your master from here on out. Look, the word socialism has been thrown around a lot over the past few years. It has always ended in misery and death. Everywhere it's been tried. Everywhere. That is exactly what this plan, this great reset is, ladies and gentlemen. And it will end up the same way if it is allowed to continue. I say we stand up together as fellow Americans, as fellow human beings. Come together, raise our voices, and fight like hell for freedom. You're listening to the New Resistance Podcast. Once again, I want to thank all of you for being a part of the New Resistance Podcast during this first year. Now, as a reminder, if y'all like what I'm throwing down, or just want to give me a piece of your mind, email the_NRP@yahoo.com. Leave a comment at the NR Podcast on Facebook, or go to anchor.fm/pxpx, click on message, then click on start recording now, and leave me an audio message. If you're on Apple or Google Podcast, Spotify, hit subscribe or like, depending on what platform you're using. Rate the show and leave me a review. Until next time, see ya!